Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Hey.
So we kind of have two topics tonight that are tightly woven in as you start to understand what healing is. And so I'm going, because it's so much to cover in one session, with a few of you I've talked about having a intensive on healing. What's healing in A Course in Miracles? You know, of course, it's so obvious. Our body speaks so loudly when we get injured. And so it tends to speak so loud that you can't hear your Holy Spirit talk over your pain. And so, you know, big topic for sure. And then for all of us who have studied A Course in Miracles enough, it's obvious enough that the book is talking about your mind. I mean, this is an inside job. This whole spiritual awakening thing is an inside job. And the whole outside appearance is a distraction from the inside truth. Everybody here knows that. Everybody here is practicing that. Everybody here is studying that. A Course in Miracles is probably the most useful discussions of healing I've read anywhere. I actually haven't heard it. I haven't heard it addressed as directly with A Course in Miracles. I've heard it addressed in kind of the material way, somewhat. But wow, does A Course in Miracles go to the heart of the only healing that matters? It doesn't stumble trying to appease the ego, like I think a lot of spiritual teachers do, because they really, really, really want to give their blind with pain and sorrow students something to hope for that they can put their hands around in the material world. Like that movie, The Secret. Remember, you just visualize and then you'll have. Yeah, I mean, it's half true. It's certainly half true. Yeah, no doubt about it. Welcome again to A Course in Miracles. Those of you who showed up, this meeting certainly must mean something to you. Now, let's take a few minutes to kind of get in touch. We have to open our minds. When we do a step in spiritual awakening, it's as much your awakening to the truth as you're closing your eyes on the false. In fact, when you're so dedicated to the false, like we are with bodies, and you know, we get hungry and we get thirsty and we get lonely and we get angry, and we have to defend ourselves, and we have to be fairly treated, and all that. All that outside influence surrounds us every day. We're drowning in a bunch of falsehood that blocks the truth. And so, A Course in Miracles clearly says this is not a course in doing something. It's an undoing. It's an undoing. You can do that. You cannot do. I don't know what you can do. In fact, I'm sure I don't know what you can do. I don't know what I can do. But I know I cannot do. That's the truth. Perhaps it's been the goal of some of your meditations is to not do. Just chill. Just be still an instant, you say. And maybe you've had some success in doing that, thereby proving that you are ruler of your mind. I hope everybody here has done that. You have had at least a few moments of your life where you recognize, however dimly, you are ruler of your mind. At times it things seems like you're not. But hopefully everybody here has had a moment when you recognize that if you just chill, then you do go still. even though a moment earlier you had something to worry about. I hope everybody here has experienced that. That's proof. And it's also supporting what the Course in Miracles' main task is an undoing, a letting go of the faults, a letting go of what blocks the truth. This you can do. I know you can do it. If anybody here doubts that, speak up, because I can prove it. Even though, how well I know it's you, you know, limited in your private lives, but I know enough. I can prove to you, you know, you have undone, and you know how to undo. I could do it. I could prove it. I don't need to. Everybody knows. You can simply stop. You actually can. So, A Course in Miracles is an inside job. It's not an outside job. When we talk healing in A Course in Miracles, I'm shortcutting all of the 101 discussion because we don't need it here. The 101 discussion is we're not trying to heal the way the body looks or feels. The body's neutral. It does what it's told to do. When we heal in A Course in Miracles, we actually heal what's hurting, not what we're dreaming is hurting. If you're doing Course in Miracles, you've decided to enter a spiritual journey. A spiritual journey means that you're planning some way, somehow, to wake up from the material journey that you have been on your whole life. When we go on this inside journey with spiritual, maybe some of you have done the outside journey that was sort of a transition, and that's religion. And you were brought up with a religion where you were told what to do and how to look and what to say and what was right and what was wrong. And it didn't satisfy you, and you turned to a spiritual journey. A Course in Miracles is a spiritual journey. It's an inside job. It's an inside job awakening to what you really are. And the task, the long and short of it, is it's a letting go. It's a not doing. You're fully capable of that. You're 100% capable of that. Because what I'm asking you to do is to not do. And of course, you can do that. So simple. Why do we even have to read the book? We have to meet like this. And we have to study something that's so simple. Because we truly, truly, in our mind and in our hearts, we truly, truly believe something that's not true. But we're working on it together. Wake up from that. So now, about this healing. About this healing. Let's take a few moments to sort of get in that space of how a spiritual aspirant like you, somebody who's on a spiritual path, how you look at healing. Let's get in that space. This term healing, it's in Course in Miracles a lot. It must be important. This term healing reaches all the levels on the path to awakening. What does it mean to you? Start with the basics. What is healing? What does the word even mean? What does it mean? when is healing required? What circumstances? When is healing called for? What do you expect to get from a successful healing? And finally, when we go upstairs on this discussion, you talk about healing your mind. You talk about a correction. You talk about right thinking. Is trust required? I said, is trust required to heal your mind? As we have a dual topic, I'm going to give you a choice. I'd ask you to think of a word or a phrase, as usual. But this time, you take your pick. Would you help the group understand the essence of healing? Just what does it mean? So there's no mistake. A or B, tell us if trust is required to heal your mind. Maybe a few words why or how. So one choice is, please define healing. What does it really mean? And the other choice is, how is trust required for healing your mind? Katie? You can help us understand what is healing, or what about trust?
I feel that healing would be the absence of fear, and it would have to have that you would have trust in what you are affirming in order to receive the healing.
That's nice. Yeah, I like that. Meaning sickness is fear. Sure enough. Painful disillusion of happiness. If you're sick, that's how you know you're sick. I like it. Luann, you tell us about healing or tell us about trust? You'll have to unmute yourself too.
When I was in the meditation part, I wrote down every time I had a new thought. And when you asked those two questions, I thought, oh my God, I have to divide my thoughts up, and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do that, because they follow along. So I'm just going to do what I'm doing, and you tell me which one I did.
I know I asked for this.
Yeah, you did. So what I wrote down to start for the title, which you gave us, was falsehood hides the truth. So, and I know what I cannot do. So, proving I am, I can't read my own writing, but anyway, I can simply stop doing what I know I cannot do. And so for me, the ACIM is all about healing of the mind, not the body, and of what it is. And that is what's hurting me, is this lack of thinking or believing or whatever in the body rather than in the mind.
Good.
So, so I have to undo the healing. I have to undo the thought I am not able to do this is what hurts me the most. Once in a while, I get a thought that I'm not able to undo what I want to do because of the these teachings. And that hurts. So I have to undo, for me, healing is undoing the thought that I'm not able to do the undoing.
It sounds like you have a fear.
I have a fear, yeah.
And we just
go along with what Katie said.
Yeah. There it is.
Loved her short business. Her short definition was wonderful.
A sure sign of sickness is fear. Katie's got it.
Yeah.
So, Dari, you can tell us about healing, or you can tell us about...
No, I'm not finished, or do I need to finish?
Oh, you said quite a good message for us.
Okay, I'll stop. We'll start
with that. Yeah. Sundari, tell us about what is the essence of healing, or is trust needed to heal your mind, and why?
For me, healing and forgiveness are the same thing, and as is the holy instant, as is the miracle. All of that is just 100% identical for me. It's magical, because at the moment of healing, body or not, I saw a video of healing a person of a tumor in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And what the people were chanting, people around this person were chanting something that, it was an Asian culture, were chanting something that meant healthy body, healthy body, healthy body. And the tumor went away like that.
Mm-hmm.
See it on ultrasound. And in a way, it's always healing the mind, and there's no order of difficulty in miracles. And by that, one can be healed of anything instantly, even things that we think are impossible to heal that way, because it is all the mind.
There's no limit. If you understand the activity of the mind, the whole dream is in the mind. There's no limit to what can happen. That's correct. No limit. No limit. Yes, very good.
And really, that is looking past the fault. That's exactly looking past the fault. The fault that I'm judging, that something is wrong in the body. And it just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, there is a slippery slope, and the Course talks about, alludes to it when it talks about magic. And it talks about, are psychic powers real? That's one of the topics in the manual for teachers. It needs to be. Because of what Sundari was just describing, there actually is a continuum of how much the mind can interact with the dream, etc. There's a continuum of levels of communication with and without words. There's a whole continuum. And you're somewhere on it, I'm somewhere on it. It's an important topic, especially when we talk about healing. Just to cut the whole topic short, using Sundari's example, would you rather heal one tumor, or would you rather heal all thoughts about tumors? It's a big difference. Thank you, Sundari. Michaeline, can you tell us about healing, or are you going to tell us about trust? Oh, you need to unmute yourself.
Details. For me, the undoing of and wrong-mindedness came up, and forgiveness definitely was there. Trust for me was fundamental, because I of myself and my own mind cannot do it. I need to surrender, or I have to have trust in the Holy Spirit, and go still. And then the healing is, as has been said, is the peace. If I'm not at peace, then I need healing.
There we go. It's the same vector as Katie. You know, if you've got fear, you've got sickness.
Right.
Good. And then peace would be a sign of healing. Very good. I love it. Thank you.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Mark, tell us something about either define healing or trust in healing your mind.
Okay, well, I think I'm just guessing on this stuff because I have never thought about it before, but I think trust is necessary because in order to heal, you have to believe that you can. And that belief is linked, I think, to trusting that something is, there's some higher, you know, calling.
Yeah.
And you don't have proof that it exists. So,
in fact, you have proof that the sickness exists.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's, like, tangible.
The fear.
Right.
The weakness. You have proof of that.
Right.
Very good. Excellent. Absolutely. Good, good. That's right. Can't deny that. Jacqueline, tell us something about essence of healing or trust in healing the mind.
I would say for me, trust is absolutely necessary. Probably 1,000% trust is needed, and it has to do with the undoing, all the undoing, and I'm newer at the undoing at this point, even though so the trust will build as I see and sense or experience undoing, actually, my ability to actually do the undoing. You know, I'm sort of facing, becoming aware of all the thoughts in my mind, and it just seems so many, so habitual, been there forever. Noticing, you know, I thought I was kind of a pretty nice, peaceful person, but when I really look at my mind and all the thoughts I've had about myself and everything going on around me, it's like, oh my gosh. You know, so that's just what I'm experiencing at this time. In fact, I don't cry hardly ever. And when we started this going inward, tears just started flowing for some reason. So, for me, it's building the trust. As I am successful or able to undo and have the results of peace or understanding or revelation, or whatever happens, the things that happen with that, the trust will build, and I hope I get to 1,000%.
I love how you said that. The 1,000%, you bet. It's not 100%'s not good enough, because the ego, you have used that term a lot. When you say 1,000%, you're saying not leaving room for the ego's trying really hard. Mm-hmm. Like 99, no, 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. A Course in Miracles uses the word perfect here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect trust is one of the references. Perfect happiness is another. And if you recognize that the Course in Miracles is not waste words, there's no filler words, and everything is really worthy of looking at very carefully, this 1,000% trust is required. Because the ego has an idea of what trust is, and it isn't full. Not enough for an awakening. So thank you. You're on it. Very, very good. Very good, good. Isadora, what can you tell us? You have to unmute yourself, yeah? Okay.
On the subject of what is healing, I wrote, it's the increasing inability to see that love is always seeking to extend itself, no matter what the appearance. I'm hoping to see that more and more easily and readily as time goes on.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I just read a quote. This is a Sufi quote, and it talks about teaching and learning, and that the one who knows, in this case Jesus in A Course in Miracles, is teaching to those who don't know. But it's not teaching by just simply laying out the simple truth and leaving you to figure it out. No. That would be not greeted as kind, and probably couldn't be absorbed by the student. So instead, this wise quote about teaching says that the master teacher exposes the student to untruths. And the student's learning progress increases as they tolerate less the falsity. If they could grasp the truth immediately, they would be done. They'd be the master. We would all be enlightened perfectly. No, really. We're so addicted to what's false that we're learning now to be disgusted with what's false, with what's fearful, recognizing that fear is not worth our time. Recognize that attack, even though it seems to make some difference, it doesn't make the difference we want. I'm disgusted with attack. I'm just disgusted with it. Now, I even think of it, that it ever appears to my mind, is first disgusting and then it's silly. It's not what I'm after. Good, good, good journey. Good way to state it. Masako, what can you tell us about these things?
I have two short things to say.
Hey, nice cabinets. Wow. How'd you get those? You get doors on all of them, and she is just beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice paint job.
It's a very simple carpenter named Andrew. So the healing for me, it's a mind activity that moves from the egoic mind system to one of the Holy Spirit or the vision, the Christ vision.
Nice. Nice. Okay.
And the other one is, in my experience, I could be, you know, illusionary, but in my experience, I don't necessarily need trust, okay? However, I do need to be with the possibility or just trying it on or just be open-minded. Well, let's see what happens. You know, there's a sense of play and exploration.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. Yeah. What's it like when you're walking up to a creek, you're hiking, and you walk up to a creek, and you're going to cross the creek, and there's a set of stones, and it looks like they're spaced about right, so you could not get wet by walking across the top of the stones. This is what Masako is describing. Stones are there, reaches across, you could do it, but you haven't. Masako, you see the stones, you could. There's hope, even.
You know, sight. Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew, were you done talking?
Well, I'm looking for whether you're tracking with me.
Oh, yeah.
Now you walk up to this, you're on the sand, and you're going to step on a stone. You've done this, right? Somewhere in your life, you lean toward that first stone, right? And I think you're probably starting to look at the second stone when you've committed to the first. Is that true?
Yes.
And pretty soon, you better start thinking about the third one. Is there trust in there?
Yes, but that's not until later.
Aha.
You see, so when I first began an adventure or any circumstance, I don't necessarily need that trust. I just have to be that, well, let's see what happens. Let's test this.
Good. Uh-huh. Good. So that's what that's good. This is an important distinction, everybody, because you can be fooled in your reading of books or doing A Course in Miracles for years without having trust. But having a good belief system or even memorizing passages, memorizing whole lessons and pages, and you could cite them off the top of your head. Wow, that sounds great. But perhaps the difference is between belief that this is a good saying or this is a good sentence, or this is a good teaching. And trust, or faith, which are really tied in tightly together, where the saying actually means something to you personally because you have tried it. You have trusted in the essence of that belief. And you've actually put some of your life onto it and stepped on the stone yourself. And then went ahead and leaned into the next stone. That's very different than belief. And now you own your path.
Yeah, yeah. It's as I begin to do more and more practice into the teachings of this course, that there is trust that gets built up.
Yes.
However, I would get to a point where I didn't have to think about it anymore. And what was in the foreground was, wow, another opportunity where it looks kind of dangerous. I don't know if I want to do this, but, you know, it's like, okay, well, there's no thinking, right? There is trust.
Just like when you got to there are seven stones and you're on the fourth one.
Yeah.
Crossing the creek. You may as well finish, because if you try to stop on that fourth stone and go back, you're likely going to get wet. You know what? Let's go for it and continue on this path.
Andrew, can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
So, can you just clarify this metaphor of walking on the stones? And you're talking about the difference between kind of like studying these concepts and actually living them. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, and can you say a little bit more again about what is involved in actually living them?
Yes. Thank you, Cecily. Yeah, I like this analogy because everybody here has done this simple task, and the little fear came up when you leaned onto that, off of 2 feet onto 1 foot, onto that stone. And then you had to keep the momentum going, and you trusted, you had this idea, you already had, so the progression is an idea, belief, trust, faith, then knowledge.
When does action come in?
Action comes in with faith. Because faith is actually walking, actually doing it. It's actually committing.
So can you go through that trajectory, idea, belief, trust, faith, knowledge,
yes,
like in an example, like in a real life example?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here it comes. So the idea is, Cecily, if you just go down this path toward the creek, you will see stones across the water, and you can cross the creek by just walking on top of the stones. That's the idea. Just follow this path. So you have the idea. You don't necessarily believe it. Maybe these stones are mossy or too far apart for you, and this tall person who told you this, it's easy for them, but I can't do it. So it's only an idea that there are stones that you could cross. You don't know that you're even going to do it when you get there. We'll see. I'll believe it when I see it, right? So it's just an idea. Now you come a little closer. You develop the idea into a belief when you stand there with your own eyes and you actually look into this matter. And in my analogy, you've come to the creek and you actually see the stones. And now, you know what? If somebody else asked you, you could honestly speak now of more than an idea. You can speak of your belief. You know what? I was told that the people can cross the stones. I now have seen the stones myself, and I also believe. It's more than an idea now, because you're closer to it, and you're starting to invest in it. and you can speak to it. This is like memorizing a course passage. It seems so right. That's why you memorized it. Because when you were reading it, something about it just seemed so true. When you stood by the stones, it looks to me like you could cross the stones. I don't know that. I haven't actually done it.
You know, what I came up with was before the word trust, like that cliff behind you, I'm at the cliff, but to get to the cliff, I had to have willingness.
Uh-huh.
And that was the action I took to get to trust. So the word actually changed from willingness to trust to it becoming my reality. But I have to be willing. And that that can be a little or a lot, just like trust. But I don't know.
Yeah, and to be willing, you have to want it. You have to want it. It has to be interesting to you. Yeah, that's true. It's absolutely true. The work that we're doing here is healing our minds away from fear and doubt and tools like attack and guilt. So all of us want that. That's already there. For what we're actually talking about, that's already there. So in this progression, the idea is developing now. You now have a higher level to the belief because you also believe that the stones, this would work. So now you're going to go to the next step and you're actually going to have faith. You actually leaned in. You acted now. You acted on your belief. That's faith, is acting on your belief. A belief is somewhat empty. It can change. It can be wrong. All beliefs are, they're stronger than an idea. But when faith comes around, you're actually testing it. You're acting on it. And your little fear comes up because you don't know. That's why you need faith. Because you don't know is why you need faith. Faith is a wonderful word in healing and in spiritual awakening. Because look at how it is actually trust. But trust in something you do not know is required. So you lean in and you go on the first stone, wow, that's solid. You know what? These stones are really good. And I see that this is going to work out. They're all worn on the top. Other people have done it. I can do it. Your faith is increasing. And so now you have faith because you're using, and you cross the creek on top of the stones. Faith is done and no longer appropriate. Because you now have knowledge. And you're very relaxed. And you could go back and forth on it all day now. You know all those. Even the small stone is actually bigger than it looks. So it'll take your weight. And now you know this because you stood on it. You're very comfortable now. You don't need faith.
Don't you think that sometimes you can be like a few steps in on the stones, and then you can get stuck with fear, like, will the next ones be okay? Like the knowledge can come and go, or maybe.
Absolutely. And you can also do it right on the, standing on the edge of the creek, you can watch somebody else go over it, and your faith goes up, but it's not enough for you to do it yet. They did it, but I don't know if I can do it. You bet. You bet. There's one more level beyond that, but I won't go there now because I don't think it's useful for us right now.
But what was the knowledge part? Because you never finished with that.
Knowledge is when you've touched the sand on the other side and you're off the stones. You've used them and you have knowledge now, or you could say experience. If you want to write experience in there, it's the same as knowledge. You actually did it. Now you know it's true. You know that these stones are a way to cross this creek. You've done it. You do not need faith. you're way beyond belief, and the idea of it is generic. It's gone. You're so far beyond that. And now you are capable of teaching it.
Because do we have knowledge here or after after we, I don't know, I don't want to say enlightenment, but do we get knowledge while we're in the body, or is that another level up higher?
Well, you get a small K knowledge, if you will, along the way.
Okay.
And then those are no longer satisfying. They're outside, and there are lots of them for spiritual practice, like knowledge of how to sit, how to meditate, knowledge of how to have a peaceful relationship. All sorts of things like that come along that are wisdom in the world. So that's a small K knowledge, and they're good, very good to practice. But A Course in Miracles will not let you down from there, and it does work on that level. And that's where it says attack is not necessary in any means. I could choose peace instead of this. These are all small K knowledges. In fact, if you will, all miracles are just knowledge with a small K. You need them. You need them because you're dealing with illusion, which is also a lowercase word. So you need knowledge that your mind indeed is powerful enough to see it differently. And that's what a miracle is a shift in perception. We go to the capital K knowledge after you have actually experienced, because you've had faith and you've walked it to a holy instant. And you were reborn on that, whatever the circumstance is, in this holy instant, knowing that in fact you were just dreaming of suffering. That is when you're on the other side of the bridge and your spiritual reality has come to replace the material witness. Good question. Good question. Does that make sense?
What was the last part about how your spiritual reality has come to replace your material witness? How do you get to that step?
Yes, because you, with your eyes and ears and the pain that you feel in your body or the worry that you wake up with in your gut, all that stuff is a material witness. You're identifying with a character in the dream that can be in pain and suffer. When you have a miracle around the circumstance and you have your Holy Spirit come in and do some right thinking, you know, help you with right thinking, now you have a shift in perception. And when you start to dwell on the material loss, you let it go because you have recognized through the miracle that it's not a loss that's worthy of your suffering. This is what miracles do. They go from wrong thinking to right thinking. So your material witness is the ego. Your material witness is the worrier.
But how does that relate to the crossing of the creek?
When you choose with your Holy Spirit to have your perception corrected, it will be an act of trust and an act. First, there's an idea, and then there's a belief, and then there's a faith. And when you actually do it, when you actually step on the stones, when you actually face your fears, and you let the Holy Spirit teach you how to be patient, for example, or open-minded, for example. It's like stepping on the stones of the creek. For you actually have a holy relationship interaction instead of an unholy relationship interaction, it's like stepping on the stones that A Course in Miracles offers you with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Might be tolerance. It might be patience.
Mm-hmm.
It might be honesty. Filling your heart with honesty, even though it feels like you're going to lose if you're honest. That's stepping on a stone that A Course in Miracles was laying out in your teaching. And when you learn all of these stones with A Course in Miracles, and you learn to trust them as you've actually tried it. And if you've done the workbook, you've tried it. The workbook will interrupt your day, interrupt your ego day, and it'll give you a Holy Spirit stone to stand on. And you'll be so grateful that you learned today that you could choose peace instead of this, what you were about to do. I mean, that's kind of all year long with these lessons. I mean, I would say if you do the workbook lessons living a regular life, it will transform. It will kick some of the ego out every time you do it. Those are the stones we're talking about. And that's the progression of trust into faith, into experience and knowledge. And I'll spill the beans on the last one, but we're not talking about it tonight. And it's at the end of your list, Cecily, it's being. Okay.
You know, it was so amazing this morning. I was boiling water for coffee, and I had to stop myself and say, these are attack thoughts. Why am I doing this? I could not believe it. I wasn't awake more than 3 minutes. I could not believe the ego. Give me a break, dude.
That's how it's done, brother. Sister, that's how it's done. Good, good. Vigilance, catch it. You know the difference by how it feels. That's your guide. Peace is your guide. Or, as Katie was putting it, fear is your guide. That's how you work it. Work it. Choose peace, then you'll have peace. End of story. Actually, it's not the end of story. You know that we've taught many times in my classes, peace is the beginning, peace is not the end. Peace is the purpose of A Course in Miracles, but it's not the end. It's just what you need the most in order to start receiving your inheritance. You need peace. From that grows everything you want. Truly. Truly. Okay, where we leave off, I think all of the pictures have rearranged themselves while we were talking. Miley, can you tell us something about healing or about trust?
Yeah. What came up for me is an aspect of trust. Because I finished this big healing project with my daughter, who's back in Santa Cruz now.
Mm. Oh.
And that was a wonderful tool for applying A Course in Miracles, because my job was just to be present for her in a way for her to unfold a new understanding and relationship with herself. And I'm ever grateful for A Course in Miracles because it got to where I could tell when I was an ego mind when what I was thinking was here. No. And I could instantly shift and lean back a little.
That a girl.
And feel like a current coming through.
Oh.
So that was always my job, to just be present, not to bring anything in particular, no goals or expectations, just be present. And accept my shortcomings when being present with the 3 and 5 year old grandsons was like, I've had enough for today right now. Bye.
Yeah.
But the aspect of trust that came into this meditation was in letting her go, in seeing that the process was complete. And she had come to her conclusion that Maui was not where she wanted to continue. That Maui was a reset for her to go back and make a go of it with the boy's father. And clear. She was totally clear. And where I saw the trust that was a delightful exercise was that this part of me would start to have little concerns, or, you know, is it okay? And I got that was doubting the healing. Doubting the healing was attacking it. And that my job was to catch that at its inception back off and stay with the feeling that I had often, which was, it's done. This healing happened. Mm. And it was such a deep place of peace and well-being.
Yes. And that
and so
state
it was, of, it's an aspect of trusting the healing.
Yes.
You know, that's the fun part. It's like watching a movie. It doesn't happen very often, but it's such a joy to see, oh, it's happening, but I'm watching it happening. Wow, it's happening without me.
Very good, Jason. Stay with that.
That's true. That's true. Good observation.
Yeah. Then that presence is very, very powerful for you to be present around your daughter without criticizing, without trying to fix her. Being present with her and standing with her is huge.
Well, then I had to work on my guilt for my shortfall when she was younger that put her in this, that was part of the setup of her being in this situation. So my constant work was to go, okay, guilt, this is not true thinking. Yeah. Whatever it was meant to be.
Remember, guilt. And, guilt is,
but it's that's all very simplistic. It was a process.
Well, no, and you know, a real suffering and a sickness of this world and having an ego is guilt.
Yeah,
that's one of the illnesses that we would heal with A Course in Miracles. Is guilt. Because it's past-oriented, isn't it? And it's the opposite of trust. It means something went wrong and love was not present somehow. Oh my God, this is for sure sickness. Yeah, good, good. Good.
In Turkey, no one ever says trust the past. You know what I mean?
When I was in Turkey, you know, I was with my Sufi husband, mm-hmm. Sheikh, and they have an expression that's really beautiful to this. It's Eyvallah. It's like an Eyvallah, when you're talking about something and you notice it's getting into story, you can just stop it cold by going, Eyvallah.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And Eyvallah means whatever happened to this moment was the will of God, and I trust it and let it go, and I'm here fully present in the moment.
I love it. I want that t-shirt.
Eyvallah. Really, right?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
Donna, tell something about healing or about trust. Oh, you were actually unmuted already. Now you're muted.
Okay. Well, it seems like I've been marinating for an hour since I thought of this, but when we were meditating, a lot of things came up, and then suddenly I just thought that healing is no longer believing, and I think this sounds like a cliche because I've heard it in other forms, that came to my mind, it's no longer believing that there's any problem, And I was having a problem right before we start the meeting tonight, and it was an interpersonal thing that happened, and I was trying to work it out with my mind. As soon as I had that thought, that whole problem went away, and it didn't seem like it was anything. It had no substance. So, like that. Yeah, just like that, it was gone.
Again.
Didn't have any substance, and so then one of the thoughts I had during the meditation with that thought was that even, you know, in that same way that death, if you're looking at it, is a kind of healing because what appeared to be real, you can see that it's not, you know, in a certain way.
Death is another sickness that we heal with A Course in Miracles. You can't avoid healing your thoughts of death. When you study A Course in Miracles, goes right at it head on. The idea that death is an end, or an end to anything valuable, at the least, is addressed head on. Good, good.
Can I just say one thing about the trust? Because
sure.
You've been talking about it a lot, and I thought, you know, what came up for me first was that trust was not required, because the kind of trust that I would normally think of, the kind of trust that somebody could say, my trust betrayed me, is a bargain. It's like a bargain. So it's something that seems like it's trust, but it's not really trust. It's such a letting go And you were doing the creek walking, and suddenly I was thinking, well, what about when I walked on fire? And the night I went there, the person that was leading this said, and you'll go first, or don't go, you can say no, and nobody else had done it. So it wasn't knowing if I trusted anything. I think I disappeared. In some way, that's fear, but it was also disappearing.
Yes, a surrender, maybe? Is that a word?
Yeah, some kind of surrender, something like that. So it seemed like, I know these are all words, but it seemed like it was a different kind of thing than normal trust. The trust that, or how I normally would have thought of trust.
Yes. Well, that's another distinction that, you know, we've talked about a few times, but let's put it in here. The when you enact your trust, which means go to faith, when you actually do this, there has to be a surrender of what you know. It doesn't mean that you know it's going to work, because you wouldn't need trust or faith if you did. So, yes, indeed, there is a release required, a forgiveness, if you will, of standing on the shore and not crossing the creek at all. Why don't you just walk until you find a big, fat bridge? Who needs to take this shortcut anyway? There'd be no surrender, right? But for you to actually step on the stone and not slide off and not get hurt, not get wet, requires a surrender of safety, of standing in the nice soft sand. This is really true. That's very experiential. It's good. Thank you. It's good. Ross, what can you tell us about healing or about trust?
What came up for me was just something I've been doing, which is, it's healing. It's letting go of grievances. So I feel like emotions from the past, and then realize, oh, well, there's an emotion, so I haven't forgiven that way back past event. Well, let's just do it now. And so that's
nice.
And also judgment. I've been working on, you know, catching judgments and going, oh, look, there it is. Okay, let's stop that and see it in another way. So
good.
That's what came up for me.
Because grievances and judgment are suffering.
Or the other word that came up for me is what the Course says is that's sin against holding a grievance is thinking that someone sinned against me. And they should feel guilty, and they should be punished.
Oh, no. Yep.
Right? So, no, undo all of that.
Yes. Only if you want to be happy.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, only if you want to be happy, though.
Why not?
Pursue them with judgment and anger and attack, and it'll make them most miserable.
And since Miley brought it up, I mean, one of the things I've been doing is something from the Course is just seeing that I can it's working for me right now, is just seeing that I can ask that person to remove the crown of thorns that I placed on my head, remove the stakes that I placed through my wrists, and bless me. It's something that's in the Course, and I found that it produces a feeling of forgiveness. So that's what I've been doing.
You bet. It is in the Course. It's lesson 121, and also touched on in lesson 160. Because this is required, because you think the problem is outside you. You think their hatred. You think they're condemning you. You really, really, really do. So by turning it around and asking for their blessing, 161, when you ask for their blessing, you're actually reversing the idea of condemning them. It's a clever method that the Course uses. And you know, Ross, just for kicks, everybody turn to page 90 in the front of your book. Here's another place where we go right at what Ross is talking about, and we turn the book around. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you. It's, God, it must be chapter 2? No. Chapter
6.
6. Page is chapter 5. It's the very last page of chapter 5, section 7, the decision for God. The very last paragraph.
What's the page number again, Andrew?
90, page 90.
90, okay.
In the front of your book. There's only
four. Yeah.
That's a regular book then? Regular book. Right.
The very front of the book, the text.
Okay.
Text, front of the book.
Front of the book, okay.
Oh, I have this highlighted.
You're good. One of our toolbox items, something you should be familiar with, because if you really want to get your correction on, you want to bare your soul to the Holy Spirit, this is a great way to do it. Come here to this page, say this out loud. And so...
So it's chapter 5 at the very end?
Yeah, last bit of chapter 5. Yeah, you can go to chapter 6 and turn back a page if you want.
Well, that might work better, yeah. State of grace?
Yep. The decision for God. Healing and wholeness. So, Jacqueline, would you read for us just the italics? And when you read those italics, punch that I. Really own it. Because that's what we're doing, is you're actually committing to the stones. Show me, Jesus, the stones to walk on, and I will walk on them. Because I want to be at peace. I really do. How do I cross this creek? Now. Go for it.
I must have just... Oh, wait. Just a minute.
And then, if you want... Go up to... in paragraph 6, sentence 5, and start there.
Okay.
Your part is merely.
Your part is merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made and give it over to the atonement in peace. Say this to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. I must have decided wrongly, because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let Him. I choose to let Him by allowing Him to decide for God for me.
Isn't that clever? Notice how that finished? Well, first of all, this is really great because, you know, it's got, you're taking responsibility. It's I. It's up to you. There's nobody going to do this for you. And it's got a four-letter word in there, want, several times, addressing your true desire to be at peace. But something went wrong. Something went sideways. You come here to this, and you open up your mouth, and you say these words. It will start to wash out the fear, the doubt, the guilt, these feelings that block the presence of love get washed out. And look how clever it is, the very last sentence. I choose to let Him, the Holy Spirit, by allowing Him, it's back to you. You allow your Holy Spirit to decide for God for you. So exactly what is your part, really? If He's doing the deciding for God for you,
just allow
it's that little willingness. That little willingness to step back out of your ego-filled guilt feelings. So it's a really good toolbox item. Highly recommend you have that.
It's like a waiter serving you.
Yeah.
You decide for God for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you decide. And He will. And He will. It would require that you would be somewhere on this path to those, crossing the stones, right? You're on the edge of the creek and you're going to lean into those stones. You have to be somewhere on that path of willingness where you have some idea the Holy Spirit can do this. Otherwise, you don't even have access to the Holy Spirit. But if you're studying A Course in Miracles, you do. We're just learning how to more often and then make it a habit and then make it your normal way of being at peace.
Andrew, can I ask a question?
Please.
What does that mean? I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me. Are we saying that we're allowing Holy Spirit to allow, like, choose our otherwise, choose, we're going to choose otherwise, but we don't know what that otherwise is, so we're going to allow Holy Spirit to choose that otherwise? Is that what that's saying?
What this is saying is making sure that you don't think the Holy Spirit is going to do this. The Holy Spirit is not going to come in and make your life peaceful. You have to choose to let the Holy Spirit. You have to call on the Holy Spirit. You have to ask. You have to let him do this. He will not do this against your will. Because he can't. Turns out you're actually a creed. You're actually an extension of God. So there's no going against your will. What you wish for, you get.
He's just showing you the roadmap.
You want to see where it says that? Go to page 448, and it'll say that pretty nifty. Nice to see this every once in a while, how this works. 448.
Can you give me a chapter and such?
It's chapter 21, section 2, called The Responsibility for Sight. Chapter 21, section 2, page 448.
Got it.
And so I want you to skip those italics. Normally we come to this page to read the italics and do a dance around that wonderful taking responsibility yourself. But we've already kind of done that. We're already there right now. So skip ahead to sentence 6, right after the italics. And look how he's pointing out. He says, look, this is where you choose to stop lying to yourself. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. This is what it means to heal the sickness of victimhood. Healing the sickness of victimhood. Acknowledge, but that you, small YOU now, have been mistaken. And all effects of your mistakes will disappear. And you know that's true. Every time that you just choose forgiveness, you know, when you get good at it and the miracle's already in place and you're dealing with the same old problem and it doesn't even hurt. You go, oh yeah, sometimes I think about this terrible thing that happened in the past, but it doesn't hurt anymore. You know, that's forgiveness is flying in and just your mind's healing and it doesn't, you don't suffer anymore. This is what it's like to heal from such a sickness. The stinking thinking. And then he takes this and hits the same nail on the head about 10 times in a row. Watch this. Just so you know what Jesus is saying in this section. He says, look, it's impossible the Son of God be merely driven by events outside of him. It's impossible that the happenings that come to him were not his choice. His power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which he seems to find himself, well, by chance or by accident. No accident nor chance is possible within the universe as God created it, outside of which is nothing. He says, look, suffer, and you decided that sin, or separation, right, was your goal, and you got it. Not what you wanted. You're suffering.
Yep.
On the other hand, be happy, and you gave the power of decision to the Holy Spirit in your mind, who must decide for God for you. Oh, we just read that on page 90. This is a little gift that you offer to the Holy Spirit. Asking the Holy Spirit. That's your part, not doing the ego. That's your part, not following fear. That's your part, not assigning guilt. That's your part, not deciding judgment is making you smarter. That's your part. You do have a part in God's plan, truth's plan for salvation. Salvation is just undoing the illusion. You do have a part because you're the one who's making the illusion. It's all over this paragraph, right? This is a little gift that you offer the Holy Spirit. And even this gift he gives to you to give yourself. Your right thinking, or if you want the miracle impulse, it's always there. If you just stop suffering for a moment and look at the pain for what it really is, your Holy Spirit will calm your mind. You know this is true. It's worked every time you've tried it. It is a little gift that you give the Holy Spirit so he can help you. Expose yourself to love and suddenly you feel loving, right? Decide to be patient and suddenly things slow down and you're starting to feel patient. Decide to be honest and the pain and the worry of lying goes away. I mean, this is how it works. For by this gift is given you the power to release your Savior that he may give salvation unto you. Do you see the circle? Do you see the part that your mind plays in your life, even here? And certainly in your healing. Good.
You know, Andrew, I was thinking that I've seen this psychology before, that drug dealers, they're in rehab or whatever, and they're trying to get a life. And the counselors tell them, well, you sold drugs, so obviously you're a salesperson. And so it's transferring skills. It's kind of like what they need to do is get off the negative and get into the whatever.
Amen, brother.
It's just a click, a different way of looking at
you bet.
All the skills you already have.
You bet. The Course describes that this whole dreaming thing was a misuse of creative power. A misuse of your sales skills to sell to children drugs in the schoolyard. That could be used elsewhere. Julie.
I was just hoping to share a quick example. It just so happens that the meditation for this morning was What is the Holy Spirit? And I've been having a rough go. Like, I've been trying to meditate every single morning for, like, however long now, this last, like, couple weeks. It's been super stressful, and I cannot even get, like, a single moment of peace. And this morning, I put a call out. I was like, all right, Holy Spirit, like, I want, you know, you to be in my ear today. And I know you're always there in my ear, but I'm not always listening. And I had my first moment of peace during my meditation in a while. And secondly is that this day just kind of flowed, and even feels like there's balls I'm dropping because work is super intense. But it's just kind of like trusting, like, whatever, it's just gonna happen as it's gonna happen, and not to get so stressed out by it. So even I had to take a work call just now, and I left a minute, and I just was like, somehow it's just gonna work out, and it did. The call just worked itself out. But I think what I'm going for here is that, first of all, I forget to call out, so that reminder for tonight is really helpful. Because it's like, what made today different than all the other days I was also wanting to meditate successfully or just have a moment of peace, really. But second thing is, like, my word for tonight under healing was alignment. And my experience is of these last few weeks is, like, I noticed that I was not... Like, when I have a moment that I come out of that chaos, I was reminded that, like, whoa, like, that's not the way I want to live. And I know, like, before that, that's not the way I was living.
So I have this awareness now that I do have a choice and that that doesn't feel good. So
beautiful, Julie. Thank you. It's just a matter of timing. You're just doing it in the wrong order. You're recognizing that you can be peaceful after the peace finally comes. You could start the day with that. You know it. I know you know it. That should be your meditation. That's it. Choose the goal ahead of time. Write it on your mirror in lipstick or something. Yeah. Yeah, you know it. You know it. But it has to be practiced. You bet. The world will try to swallow you up. The ego, never underestimate the ego. I don't care how holy, I don't care how experienced you become, how many rosaries you've counted, how many Hail Marys. If you're breathing air, you're still in the world. And it will try to take your peace because that's what it's designed to do. It's not a sin. It's not evil. That's just the game we're in. Yeah, when you're playing football, people are trying to hit you. No surprise. The world will try to do this all along, but you have this tool, this wonderful tool. Yeah, good, good, good. Masako.
You know, what I'm hearing throughout this discussion tonight is something about having an intention. And so for me, it's lesson 30. It says, I see God. What is it? God is in everything that I see because God is in my mind. And that, you know, could very well be an affirmation, but that idea really sets up my day because it's kind of building a foundation for what's really important and what my commitment is that I want to show up in the world, right? So like someone earlier was saying that whenever they experience fear, they know that they're in the wrong thought system. So holding that in, see God in this thing, if the answer, well, I don't even have to answer it. My experience, that resistance, or when my body gets heated and my pulse is racing, I know, that I'm in the wrong thought system. But I think it's really a practical practice to have that intention to heal or whatever it is that's important for you for that day. It's really powerful.
If you don't call for it, then the default will continue to run. And yeah. I'm just saying that if you're in a body, the default is ego. It will always be with you. But it'll become weaker and weaker and weaker as you practice and practice and practice. Choosing peace, choosing love, letting go, stop trusting judgment. You become much more peaceful and powerful in the world as well. But you have to ask the Holy Spirit. You who has the problems, you who is the reason why you need miracles, you must ask. That's your job. Your job is to learn the other way. There's no learning in heaven. There's no learning when you transcend back to being an abstract creator who can truly share, truly have joy, truly join. No, but there is here, and that's your part. Like Ross was describing, he's on it. He's like, you know, I don't like the way this judgment feels, and I'm just this habit of attack and stuff. It's got to stop that. Absolutely. That's how it's done.
And, you know, I love what you said earlier, Andrew, about being reborn. So every time I surrender, let go, forgive, you know, be open to healing, wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's like being born. It's like, wow. You know, in that moment, there's no past. There's no struggle.
Yeah.
There's a sense of wholeness and complete, and I'm just just there in that moment. It's such a
beautiful,
phenomenal experience.
Yeah, you want to see where it says it? Everybody turn to page 476 in the text. It's been a while, so I'm pretty sure it's 476. It's a great
in the chapter.
Yeah. Chapter 22. Oh, no, it's not 476. It's going to be... is it 247? If it's not 247, then we'll have to give up. See, we got to have more meetings so I can practice this stuff. No.
You're doing fine, and we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
God, it's one of my favorite quotes. I'll just tell you what it says, and then I'll find it later and memorize it again.
This is the first time I've seen you stuck in, like, 5 years.
I know. I've never heard you miss this, Andrew.
And we're recording, Andrew. We're recording.
Oh, no pressure, right, Jason? I got a Band-Aid on my head, so this is my excuse.
Oh, that's right.
Something fell out when I hit my head.
Oh, my gosh.
So what she's talking about is one of my favorite quotes, and it says, this is a quote, to forget the past is to be born again.
Oh, I love it.
Can you say it again? It was quiet.
To forget the past is born again.
Andrew, your mic dropped for some reason.
Oh. Dropped the mic, huh?
Or the volume did.
Well, that's a fire.
From my meeting.
Is that better?
To forget the past.
Am I still dropped?
Is to be born again.
How's it, Julie? Testing. Oh, really low. Yours is still low?
You seem low to me, but Cecily's giving you a thumbs up, so it might just be me.
Okay.
I'm hearing you fine.
All right, good. Too. Yeah. Is it two? Yeah, isn't that a great short sentence that describes the sickness of the past? Is what makes you busy with the ego. It's the whole first couple of lessons in the course.
Can I show you what I was given 2 days
ago? Yeah. What did you get?
Can't hear.
Yeah, she's frozen.
Can't freeze in Hawaii.
Jason, that's funny. Good. That was quick. All right. Okay.
Can I say one thing? I just wanted to tell Jason that I appreciated a comment you made earlier about remembering that it's like a movie and that you can step back and just let it happen. And we've made reference to that before. There's been reference to that before in the meeting, more like being an actor in the play, you know. And I really love that analogy, speaks so deeply to me that I'm just like an actor in this play. And sometimes I forget that I'm an actor, and I start to believe I'm the actual character.
That's it.
And then
Shakespeare said it best.
Someone like Jason will speak up. I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Play, and I can walk off this stage and watch the play, or I can walk out of the theater altogether. But I don't have to keep playing this part because it's a part. And thank you, Jason, for reminding me of that. I've heard it before, but of course it just vanishes from my brain, so I love to be reminded, and thank you.
That's it. Thank you. Beautiful. Yeah. It's the one proper use of separation in A Course in Miracles, is to separate yourself from being the ego Look at page 68 in the front of the book. Don't mind coming to this one. See, page 68, paragraph 6, sentence 2. This is front of the book, putting it right out. What are you doing with this Course in Miracles? What are you doing with your spiritual awakening? How is this supposed to actually work in your life?
What is the chapter?
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, section 6. Paragraph 6.
Chapter 4.
Sentence 2. Your mission. What? You know, when the Course says your mission or your goal or your, you know, your function, right. I think this is sit up and take notice time, right?
Yep.
Your mission is very simple, period. You are asked to live so as to demonstrate that you are not an ego.
Ego.
Cecily, your mission is very simple. Yeah. You're asked to be, you know, live. It still says live, right? It doesn't say go die. That's your mission. Quit. It's not, no.
Yeah.
Your mission is to live, being a mother, being a, you know, whatever it's role you were in when difficulty came up, to live. Okay, you're going to live. But the deal is, show and demonstrate through your choices with the Holy Spirit in those moments. Demonstrate you are not an ego. Now it's all useful. All of it. The problems, the successes alike are all useful now in the hands of the Holy Spirit to demonstrate you are not an ego.
I wish I knew that before the first hip replacement.
You should have asked. Okay. Oh, my God. We're out of time. Okay. Okay. Since we have run out of time, we're just going to skip to a paragraph I wanted to make sure that we saw on in the manual for teachers.
You know, my aunt used to have a saying, she'd say, get behind me, Satan. And that was kind of cute.
You bet.
Is that one on page 22 in the manual for teachers?
Thank you. Yes. Okay, so there's a bunch of great stuff that we might have discussed. But what I really want you to make sure that we see before we part tonight is really it's paragraph 5 on page 23. I want to make sure
Is that six or seven?
Yeah, this is number 7 in the manual for teachers. Should be repeated.
And then it's 4?
And we're going to go to paragraph 5.
5, okay.
Yeah. All right, 4. Since you want it so badly, Miley.
Okay.
This is really great. So let's go ahead. Michaeline, would you read for us paragraph 4?
Paragraph 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
I changed my mind. Paragraph 4.
Okay. One of the most difficult temptations to recognize is that to doubt a healing because of the appearance of continuing symptoms is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. As such, it is an attack. Usually it seems to be just the opposite. It does appear unreasonable at first to be told that continued concern is attack.
Wow. Could you just slow down for a second and just read that sentence again?
Yes, because it's certainly applicable to what I'm going through now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sentence 2, right?
All right.
Or did you want me to go to the beginning?
4 is what I was after.
Oh, 4. It does appear unreasonable at first to be told that continued concern is attack.
A Course in Miracles is telling you that continued concern, not concern, but once you've taken the healing, once you've listened to the Holy Spirit, give you the miracle. Once you allowed yourself to see it with right-mindedness, and you go to peace, right? Once the healing has shown up, for you to go back and be concerned that there's something you overlook, that this problem is more than the Holy Spirit can handle, that you can't use Course in Miracles in this because it's real, I feel it, to go back is a, not only are you not trusting in that freedom that you felt just a moment ago when you finally relaxed and said, Holy Spirit, show me how to see this differently. And it did. Not only are you not trusting in that, but you're actually attacking it and pushing it away. That's what this is saying. So, of course, at first it seems to stop being concerned about it. That seems like you're not doing your job. So
it does. It feels very awkward.
Yes.
Because that's one of the things I've done. I've been working on is healing. And it doesn't appear like anything is happening, but it is that I'm not trusting. Oh, it has all the appearance of...
If you're not at peace, you're right. Not trusting.
Right.
If you are further from peace, you're actually in fear, as Katie was right. telling us, you are getting sicker. I don't know about the body and all that you're dealing with. That's not what we're talking about. Everybody's body's going to get sick. It's going to experience pain. People you love will go through pain. Your bank account will go through pain. Eventually, people around you will die. And then you're going to head
to... My little doggy.
Yeah, even the little doggy. Yeah.
What's it on? I'm sorry.
And you can suffer. You can absolutely suffer. Or you can allow the Holy Spirit to give you a healed perspective on all the things that are coming in your life. Start the healing now.
Right.
Please continue.
It has all the appearances of love, yet love without trust is impossible, and doubt and trust cannot coexist, and hate must be the opposite of love. Regardless of the form it takes. Doubt not the gift, and it is impossible to doubt its result. This is the certainty that gives God's teachers the power to be miracle workers, for they have put their trust in Him.
Yeah, boy, remind you? Yeah.
That is just the whole crux of what I needed to hear tonight, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Excellent, Michaeline, because underneath that is the basic teaching of love, the basic teaching of God and the Spirit, that as you give, you receive. If you give the healing trust, you will feel what it's like to have trust and to receive healing and to have it be present. This you must do, because healing actually happens through you, through your own mind. It does not happen to you. As you give it, you receive it.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Good, good. Mark, would you read for us paragraph 5?
The real basis for doubt about the outcome of any problem that has been given to God's teacher for resolution is always self-doubt. And that necessarily implies that trust has been placed in an illusory self, for only such a self can be doubted. This illusion can take many forms. Perhaps there is a fear of weakness and vulnerability. Perhaps there is a fear of failure and shame associated with a sense of inadequacy. Perhaps there is a guilty embarrassment stemming from false humility. The form of the mistake is not important. What is important is only the recognition of a mistake as a mistake.
That will require trust.
Yes.
The mistake is already present, whatever it is, whether you doubt yourself or false humility or any of these weaknesses is already present. But now if you step toward healing, it's like willing to step on the stones. This is where you go from belief to trust to faith. And then you will feel the effects of faith is exactly how it gives you strength to carry on through the uncertainties of what it means to be living without an ego, to be present and free and trusting. Oh yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, let's get one more paragraph to close the meeting. Jacqueline, would you read that for us?
The mistake is always some form of concern with the self to the exclusion of the patient. It is a failure to recognize him as part of the self, big self, and thus represents a confusion in identity. Conflict about what you are has entered your mind, and you have become deceived about yourself. And you are deceived about yourself because you have denied the source of your creation. If you are offering only healing, you cannot doubt. If you really want the problem solved, you cannot doubt. If you are certain what the problem is, you cannot doubt. Doubt is the result of conflicting wishes. Be sure of what you want, and doubt becomes impossible.
That whole paragraph is code for you to get your priorities straight about what you're actually doing. Maybe you're in a cancer bed or something, or you're trying to figure out what does this mean. Sometimes people say that everything happens for a purpose. Watch out, man. That spiritual ego will rope you in and give you a whole new layer of guilt. Oh, everything happens for a purpose. Ego story. What is this for? What is this really for? And look how it says it so clearly here. It says, look, if you are certain what the problem is, you cannot doubt. One problem, one solution, right? That sickness is just indicative of the same single problem that we learn about in the workbook. Anybody remember what the one problem is? Somebody? Anybody? Bye, Michaeline. What's the one problem in the workbook? Separation. Separation. From your belief in separation comes your drunkenness in separation and all the sort of problems of having a body. If you're not separate, then you'll see the connectedness and therefore the unity of everything and the power that exists in everything, and it's nothing to fear. So separation is the root of all the problems. One problem, one solution. That's what the problem always is here, you know, living in bodies. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for studying A Course in Miracles with me. It was really cool.